The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
Well, I'll tell you what, one thing to be very happy about this morning, it is opening day for baseball season. We can all come together around baseball. It is the American pastime. After receiving his World Series championship ring along with the rest of his teammates tonight, Nathan Uvalde will take the mound against the Chicago Cubs to begin the defense of the Texas Rangers. Do you hear that? Texas Rangers World Series title that they earned late last October. It was a long time coming for your Rangers. A long, long time for that franchise. But they did it. Repeating is hard, but that effort begins tonight. Good morning. It is Thursday, March 28th, 2024. I'm Paul Gleiser, sitting in for Mark Davis, and I want to hear from you at 866-660-5759. 866-660-5759. The question of the morning. Are there any sane Democrats left? We lost one of that breed yesterday, one of the last of that breed. Long-serving senator from Connecticut, Joe Lieberman, died after having earlier suffered a fall. He was 82. Joe Lieberman, as you will recall, ran on the ticket with Al Gore in 2000. Gore lost that election to George W. Bush, speaking of the Texas Rangers, by fewer than 600 votes in Florida. That was that squeaker election. That was the hanging Chad election. Joe Lieberman came within about 574 votes of being the vice president of the United States. It was during the Bush administration, in the run-up to the Iraq War, that Joe Lieberman got himself effectively kicked out of the Democratic Party for supporting President Bush's position on the Iraq War. So angry were the Democrat poobahs at Lieberman that they put up a primary challenger against him in 2006 when he was up for re-election. That challenger, a very, very liberal guy named Ned Lamont, won the Democratic primary in Connecticut over Lieberman. He won 52-48 on percentage basis. Lieberman then had to run in the general election as an independent. He beat Lamont 50-40. And there in Connecticut, as liberal as that state is, Alan Schlesinger was the Republican. He came brought up the rear at less than 10% of the vote. So Lieberman put himself in the Senate as an independent, and he continued to caucus with the Democrats in the Senate and was always at pains to say that being cast aside by his party notwithstanding, he still considered himself a Democrat. In 2008, he further upset the party elders by giving the keynote address on Wednesday night at the Republican National Convention in St. Paul, Minnesota. He was in support of the GOP's nominee and Lieberman's colleague in the Senate, John McCain. I was in the room for that speech, and of course he was pitching it to a Republican audience, so he wrote the speech accordingly. But in that speech, I didn't hear anything in what he said with which I would disagree. This is to say that Joe Lieberman was a Democrat of the era when Democrats were still sane. He was cut from the same bolt of cloth as New York Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan. And does, by the way, just as an aside, does anybody remember the pained look on Moynihan's face as he did what he had to do and endorsed Hillary Clinton's campaign for his seat in the Senate from which he was retiring? If you go look up that video, you could tell he was doing what he had to do, but he hated it. That's just an aside on Daniel Patrick Moynihan, another sane Democrat. But it was Joe Lieberman, almost alone among Democrats, who during the run-up to the impeachment of Bill Clinton, of President Bill Clinton, stood in the well of the Senate, and he said this.
The last 3 weeks have been dominated by a cacophony of media and political voices calling for impeachment or resignation or censure, while a lesser chorus implores us to move on and get this matter behind us. Appealing as that latter option may be to many people who are understandably weary of this crisis, the transgressions the president has admitted to are too consequential for us to walk away and leave the impression for our children today and for our posterity tomorrow that what he acknowledges he did within the White House is acceptable behavior for our nation's leader. On the contrary, as I have said, it is wrong and unacceptable and should be followed by some measure of public rebuke and accountability.
That was Joe Lieberman stating the obvious, but he was, as I say, almost alone among Democrats in saying that. There was a time that what Bill Clinton did was generally unacceptable to normal Americans of either party. But the party had moved so far to the left and become so radical even by 1998 that Joe Lieberman was the one guy who had the courage and the conviction to stand up and say what Bill Clinton did was wrong. Joe Lieberman was the embodiment of the kind of Democrat with whom we Republicans could get along. He was the kind of guy who could engage in a civil debate. He was of the Democratic Party of the day when the principal disagreement was largely centered on what to do about poor people and poverty. The Democrats of Lieberman's ilk were patriots. They loved the country. They didn't raise their children to believe that the United States is evil from its birth because of the original sin of slavery. Democrats of Lieberman's ilk supported the military. They supported the principles, the founding principles of free speech, freedom of religion, and individual liberty. Joe Lieberman was the kind of Democrat my grandfather voted for. My mother's father, Lewis N. Carroll, was a working-class man who raised a family during the Great Depression. He died in 1969, having voted a straight Democratic ticket his entire adult life. I remember thinking about him as I was sitting in my family room in June of 2019, watching the first Democratic presidential debate of the 2020 cycle, and saying to my wife that if my grandfather Lewis Carroll had somehow been raised from the dead in time to watch this thing, he wouldn't recognize the Democratic Party as represented by that gaggle of leftist radicals up there on the stage. The Democratic Party of 2019, I said to my wife, bears little resemblance to the Democrats of Lewis Carroll's day. The Democratic Party of 2024 is even worse. But you're saying, but Paul, that was more than 50 years ago. Things evolve, they change. Well, okay, fine. So then what about comparisons to the much more recent Democratic Party that elected Bill Clinton? The current gang of Democrats is radical even by those standards. I'm going to give you three examples: abortion, immigration, gender identity. When my grandfather was alive, abortion was a topic not suitable for polite company. By 1996, when Bill Clinton was running for re-election, abortion was a nearly unavoidable topic. It is today, but even so, Bill Clinton still said that abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. Fast forward to the Democratic debate. The Democrats were elbowing each other out of the way to stake out the farthest left position on the subject. Democratic views on abortion go to places that were unimaginable even as recently as Bill Clinton's re-election campaign. Today, if you're a Democrat and want to have any hope of being the nominee, it's not enough to simply support unrestricted abortion on demand. You have to zealously promote it. Safe, legal, and rare be damned. To this group of Dems, abortion is the inalienable right, if not the duty, of a pregnant woman right up to the very moment of natural birth, and to some of these crazies, even beyond. It gets even more crazy. Texas's own Julian Castro reminded us some time ago that we must provide state funds for the abortions of female trans people. Now, you can't make this stuff up. Moving to immigration, whatever opinions Lewis Carroll had on the subject, it's absolutely certain that none of them included completely open borders. He had enough common sense to understand that you can't let millions of poor, unvetted migrants just stream into the country every month. No such common sense among the Dems today. to the Dems seeking the presidency, the current Democratic president, the Democrats that support him, lawlessness is apparently preferable to even a semblance of order. Then we have the whole gender identity issue. Boys in school can simply say that they identify as girls and then start using the girls' restrooms and locker rooms. Are you crazy? 6-foot biological males can declare themselves to be women and compete in women's sports. That's insane. Anyone with any tether to the reality of planet Earth knows that. That it's even discussed and is part of a major party's platform is crazy. Now, I say, are there any sane Democrats left? Well, there's Joe Manchin of West Virginia, but he's retiring. And one of the reasons he's retiring is because he can't really hang in today's Democratic Party. He can't quit the party. He can't run as a Republican. So he's leaving. He's quitting. He sees the handwriting on the wall. Suffice to say that the Democratic Party of my grandfather was led by the likes of Harry Truman, Sam Rayburn, John Kennedy, and Lyndon Johnson. All men of the left, to be sure, but substantial men nonetheless. The leader of today's Democratic Party isn't running for president, and he isn't House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. The de facto leader of today's Democrats is a 30-something-year-old barmaid-turned-congresswoman named Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She is the grand marshal of the radical left crazy parade, and all those Dems on stage that night when I was watching the debate were proudly marching in that parade, and they are marching in that parade today, but they are even more crazy. My grandfather, Lewis Carroll, would be appalled. I'm sure Joe Lieberman has been appalled. People who want to sound smart are fond of saying, well, we are so divided and both parties have become really extreme. Well, yes, the Republican Party has shifted a few clicks to the right, but the Democratic Party has moved furlongs to the left. We lost one of the last sane Democrats yesterday, and that's too bad. The Republican Party would be a better, stronger party if it had a more worthy opponent in the form of a sane Democratic Party. So what do you think? 866-660-5759, 866-660-5759. And a bonus question today. How into the eclipse are you? It's coming a week from Monday, the 8th, middle of the day, about 1:30 in the afternoon. That is assuming that the weather doesn't scotch it for us here in North Texas. It's not looking great. 11 days out, they're calling for cloudy with rain. I am told by my weather experts, I employ them, I'm on radio stations in East Texas, told by my weather guys that 10 days you start gaining confidence in the forecast. At 5 days, you start betting real money on it. So we're going to follow the weather, but there's a good chance, and it's going to kill me because I'm seriously into photography, and I'm really looking. I have all the gear. I've got all my gear, my solar filter, and all the stuff I need. I'm really looking forward to photographing it, and I'm going to be really crushed if I don't get to. But assuming we get to see it, how into the eclipse are you? We have Kaufman. We have jurisdictions declaring states of emergency because of the anticipation of a flood of traffic from people in Texas and around this area flooding into the zone of totality, that strip that runs from Del Rio northeast across the state of Texas and up to Cleveland and beyond. There's a path. You can go look it up. How into the eclipse are you? I'm looking forward to it. I hope and pray that our Father in heaven will give us some clear skies so that we can see this once-in-a-lifetime event, a total eclipse. If you don't see this one, if you're of voting age, you're not going to see another one in this part of the world for the rest of your life. So this is it. This is your chance to see a total eclipse of the sun, spectacular event. How into it are you? 866-660-5759. I'm Paul Gleiser, sitting in for Mark Davis here on The Mark Davis Show at 660 AM The Answer. Coming up on 7:26, Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis here on 660 AM The Answer and wanting to hear from you at 866-660-5759. The question we put on the floor, are there any sane Democrats left? We lost one yesterday, Joe Lieberman, a man I respected a lot, met him once, a thorough gentleman in that meeting. I mean, a really genuinely nice man. He died yesterday. He suffered a fall sometime earlier. That fall, as is often the case with people as they start getting older, eventuated his death. He was 82 years old. And the Democratic Party in America lost a good man. Joe Lieberman was a good man, and he was honorable, and he believed what he believed, and he was principled in it, and I had a lot of respect for him, even though on a lot of things I disagreed with him. I still thought he was a man worthy of respect. He was certainly a man with whom you could engage in a sane debate about the best course forward for the country, and we don't have a lot of that left among the Democrats of today. Let's talk about it. 866-660-5759. Mark in Las Colinas, you're our leadoff caller. What do you say?
That early happy Easter to everybody out there. I agree with you on your assessment of Joe Lieberman, and I disagree with you, I think, a little bit, if you're calling Joe Manchin a moderate.
I didn't say moderate. I said sane.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, because I watched the president a couple of weeks ago in his speech, where Joe showed his true colors as one of the meanest and nastiest presidents, if not, you know, the meanest and nastiest ever.
Are we talking Joe Manchin or are we talking Joe Biden?
Well, one and the same, because during that speech, you know, I simply remember Joe Biden standing up and applauding what the president had to say, and I couldn't think of one thing worthy of standing up and applauding that. And that's my point with Joe Manchin, as far as him being a moderate or anything like that, because Chris Coons, no. I mean, any party that would vote against the Born Alive Infant Protection Act, which they all did, there's nothing worthy of them, and there's nothing more I'm saying or common sense. So you take care, and I hope you have a good day.
Well, I hope you have a good day. Are you into the eclipse? We lost. Mark's gone. That's the bonus question today. Are you into the eclipse coming up a week from Monday? 866-660-5759. More on this. Where are we, and can we have a sane, principled debate on the best way forward? Evidence right now suggests not, because of how far left and how radical the Democratic Party has gone. 866-660-5759. I'm Paul Gleiser. I'm sitting in for Mark Davis today. More of the show's coming up. It's 7:34. I'm Paul Gleiser, sitting in for Mark Davis here at 6:60 a.m. The Answer. And I'm taking calls at 866-660-5759. Let's do that right now. We're in Garland. Andy, you're up on the Mark Davis Show. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Good, thanks.
So what I wanted to say is, so I think that we need to bring everyone back to center, because I did vote for Trump both times, and I will again. However, the Republican Party has shifted pretty far to the right also, and I'm more of a moderate, so I probably, like in a Clinton era, I could have probably gone either way. But at this point, there's no way I would ever vote for the left. But I think they're both too far to the right, because even though Trump, I think, is pretty moderate, if you look at his policies, there are a lot of Trump supporters that I have met, not all of them, but are really, really far to the right. It seems far from where the Republican Party used to be.
Give me examples of the Republican Party having moved far to the right, Andy.
Well, it's just, so I mean, it's just, I'm trying to put it into words. Like, it just seems like almost like people are, there's like a paranoia out there. And I'm not saying the government is not after people, because they are, but it seems just really, really far, if that makes sense. Like, I'm not even, like, I'm a believer, so I'm not pro-abortion, but I think we're just so hung up on certain things that I think there needs to be kind of a middle ground. Cause it's about compromise. Like, safe, legal, and rare, I think, is probably not a bad idea. Maybe there needs to be a cutoff, obviously, of age, but it just, we're, like, so, like, combative. And they also seem, I guess I can't put into words right now, but it just, certain laws just have gotten so, like, people are just so, people used to be more like, so I'm not that old, but it's like, it just, George Bush and stuff, that era, just Trump supporters, not all of them, but they are kind of at times, like, even the last guy, it's just about super, like, not even entertaining maybe that there's a different position. And it seems like we're all really walled off at this point.
Well, Andy, let me take one thing you threw out there. You talked about abortion. You know, abortion became a real hot-button issue, and it had a major impact on the 2020 midterm election. But here's an example. Here's why I'm going to take issue with you. The reason abortion got hot again, and the reason that Roe v. Wade wound up being being reversed by the Supreme Court is because of the extreme position of Democrats in Georgia. Georgia had a 12-week or a 14-week or 16-week limit on abortion, and the Democrats couldn't get happy with that. I mean, that is a compromise position between, no, you can't have an abortion under any circumstances, up to abortion up to the second grade. So there was a compromise in place in Georgia, and the Democrats were the ones that couldn't live with it. And the Dobbs decision is what wound up in the Supreme Court that led to the reversal of Roe v. Wade. It was the Democrats that they're basically hoist by their own petard.
Oh, no, I agree with that. Like I said, the Democrat Party is very far to the left.
But it wasn't the Republicans going and saying, no, we want no abortion at all under any circumstances that led to that. It was the Democrats saying we want essentially unfettered abortion. So which is the more extreme?
The Democrats, for sure.
Well, now that is my point. If you start really drilling down and get past the emotion and the rhetoric and look at the policy positions, it is the Democrats that have moved way far to the left, more than the Republicans have moved to the right. And because that's when I challenge you to say, well, show me where the Republican Party has moved far right, you kind of have a hard time finding any policy positions that are much different than those of Ronald Reagan in 1984.
That's a fair point. I mean, I was trying to think about, well, yeah, and I guess I kind of got stumped up. I don't know. It's just, I just feel maybe, you know, the better way to put it is it just the emotion of the Republican Party or the rhetoric seems to have changed, not the policies, but that's a better way to put it. It's just because I don't have a problem with Trump, but he's the president. I do think that he has stirred up a lot of emotion in people.
I think you're right about that, Andy. If I have a complaint about Donald Trump, it is certainly not on policy. I've said on the air the past 2 days, my only two areas of complaint with respect to policy and Donald Trump in his presidency in his 4 years is I don't think I'm absolutely convinced that he was not as much of a fiscal hawk as I think somebody's going to have to be if we're going to keep the country from just going over the fiscal edge. And number two, related to that, I don't think he has the right position with respect to Social Security and Medicare. Those programs are going to have to be dealt with before they go bankrupt. But other than that, I'm all on board. Trump is a policy guy. My problem with Trump, if I have one, is he is too frequently, he is gratuitously combative. He gratuitously engages in verbal assaults that he doesn't have to engage in. He says things that, if he left them unsaid, would have served him. That's my problem with Donald Trump, and he does stir up a lot of emotion. I agree with you on that.
So that is what. So I should have worded myself better. That is more what I meant. His policy is not the issue, but what about emotion? I just people say certain things that I feel like that just wouldn't be said before. Like, and I mean, so Trump is obviously not a white nationalist or anything like that at all. But so the Democrats would not be able to say anything at all about that if he didn't like say things that people take a certain way. If that makes sense, like how you can't blame him for how people act. Like January 6th, all that wasn't what people said it was, but because of how he is, they were able to kind of pin it on him. So just if he could just tamper, like Ben Shapiro said before, it's like if he could just maybe cut back a little bit and just let the policy speak, people wouldn't have as much of a problem with him.
You know, I'll tell you what, and I'll say this, Andy, then before I let you go, when Donald Trump was running in 2015, when he came down the escalator, that shtick that he did is what made the difference. That combative, New York City, bare knuckles kind of guy that he was is what made the difference. I've said at the time, and will continue to say, that Donald Trump was the only one of the 17 Republican candidates who announced and at one time were on the debate stage. He was the only one that could have beaten Hillary Clinton. I don't think any of the others, as good as they were, and that was a really great panel of Republicans, I don't think any one of them would have beat Hillary Clinton. Donald Trump did because of his huge outsized personality. But once he put on the suit of the President of the United States, It would have served him to dial that back. And he didn't. You know, and he made some, I think he made some serious mistakes in the wake of the 2020 election. I think he should have, when the Supreme Court refused to hear the Texas suit that 18 other states joined, that was the end of that election. It was over. You may not like it, but it was over. He should have gracefully conceded and then gone on and done what Mike Pence wanted him to do and go on a victory tour and tout the successes, the undeniable successes of his administration. He'd be sitting pretty today. Hey, Andy, appreciate the call. 866-660-5759. Daniel in Carrollton, what about you? What do you say?
So I will I'll leave the word sane out of it, but I will say this. I think that we have a lot of Democrats, and I have friends who vote Democrat, but I don't think they represent my friends like they need to. And I think, honestly, social, you know, aspect of it away, it's the economy. You know, the people who could typically make it in a regular economy that we have, whatever that looks like, it's not happening right now. You know, my wife and I are pretty pretty smart financially, and I'll tell you, man, it hurts. Like every time I go to the store, and it's like, you know, you buy something and you feel like your dollar doesn't stretch as much, and it's just it's ignored.
Well, Daniel, but let me tell you, I mean, let me put a little button on that. I got off the air here yesterday at 10 o'clock, and I went galloping to my home studio, and I did 3 hours of a national talk show. This is fill-in week for guys like me. The regular guys taking this holiday week off. It's Good Friday is tomorrow. It's Easter, so people taking time off. So I did 6 hours of talk radio yesterday. Got off the air at 2 o'clock. I was famished. Hadn't had a bite to eat. And I went to a place around the corner from me. I mean, not that far. Goff's Hamburgers on Mockingbird Lane at Central. I got my lunch. $18 for a hamburger and some onion rings and a iced tea.
You know,
almost $19 for that.
And my kids, they eat granola bars. I remember I pulled one out the other day. I was like, man, this box is smaller. And then the bar was smaller. And I'm just like, I'm paying the same amount of money for everybody's cutting costs. And, you know, I joke around with my security company has now gotten to the point where I call them about an issue on my alarm system. And they send me the how-to on how to fix all the problems. So I'm like, oh. And they raise my prices too, so it's fun to see that.
Yeah, but everybody's having to raise prices. You know, I've got friends of mine in the restaurant business. Yeah. They're having to pay $18 an hour for dishwashers.
And I don't blame the company, you know, at all.
No, listen. I own radio stations in East Texas. The backbone of my business is advertising by small businesses. Small independent businesses are what keep me in business. I understand. Well, I am myself a small businessman. I am up against the same thing. The inflation that has been ignited by the runaway spending, and let's be fair, some of that runaway spending is the $1.9 trillion, however much it was, that got enacted when Trump was president because of the response to COVID. All that money that hit our mailboxes, the PPP money and all that absolutely inflationary. But then as the economy is recovering on its own, along comes Joe Biden, pumps another $2 trillion into the economy, and you get inflation, and wages aren't keeping up, and it's good. It's tough on people. Daniel,
I was going to say, I got the bonus question.
Okay, and I was going to add, just getting ready to ask you the eclipse. What
okay,
about
perfect.
It?
Well, also, I want to say, Paul, you're one of my favorite fill-in talk hosts.
Well, thank
Mark
you.
Always has you on.
You're thank
always a fun
you.
Guy, and you always give good questions. On that note, I do care about the eclipse. Also, if it does go awry, you know, I mean, it's historical for us, you know, but it's also my birthday that day, so I just feel like all these people are flooding in town to celebrate my birthday.
Well, listen, Daniel, you're a hell of a guy, you know?
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, sir. Now, you are one of my favorite hosts I listen to, so you're a good guy.
Daniel, nice of you to say appreciate it. 866-660-5759. We're in Frisco. Melissa, what about you?
Comment about the conversation you were just having about the policies of the right haven't really changed all that much over the years, but the rhetoric has gone up. But I would say that, you know, conservatives traditionally, you know, they've got their heads down. They're taking care of their families, you know, and helping their communities. But now that the left has moved so far over, they have no choice but to raise their voices now.
Okay, that's a fair point. And so now, because conservatives are fighting back, the debate has become more heated. Okay, I'll buy that.
That's all I wanted to bring up. I don't feel like conservatives are getting more conservative. I just feel like they feel like if we don't say something now, God knows where we're going to be in a few years.
Well, you know, but this I have these conversations all the time. I have liberal friends, I have Democrat friends, and I will have these conversations. I say, well, you know, both parties have really gotten extreme. I say, okay, well, tell me the extreme policies of the Republican Party today compared to the Republican Party of Ronald Reagan. And I never can get an answer.
But yeah, there's nothing. The my policies that I've believed in are the same that I believed in when I was a teenager, right? There's nothing I've moved on, and I think liberals is sort of like the policy of the day, and they're over the place. And I think that's where Republicans are now raising their voices where they've never in the past, because I think people they're getting worried now, right? There's always been that gulf, but it was so much smaller between us, and now it's an ocean now.
It is, and the expression used to be American politics are played between the 40s, you know, doing a football metaphor, between the 40-yard lines. That's not the case anymore because, you know, you have a Democratic Party where we used to argue about how many, you know, where is the right cutoff point, pardon me, with respect to abortion. Now you have some parts of the Democratic Party said right up to the moment of birth. That's extreme. That's crazy. And that's really the catalyst to the Supreme Court getting the case, the Dobbs case out of Georgia, that led to the overturning of the Roe v. Wade decision, which pushed both sides toward their corners. It pushed the Democrats way to the left, and it pushed Republicans further to the right. It was divisive, but it was the catalytic event behind that was the Democrats in Georgia, the left in Georgia, being unable to accept a compromised position on the availability of abortion. Melissa, appreciate your call. Oh, but hey, before I let you go, are you into the eclipse?
Yes, I've got my glasses ready. I'm going to go to the school with the kids and enjoy it with them.
I hope it happens. I hope we get to see it. We will get to see it to this extent. Even if it's cloudy, it's going to get dark. It'll seem like nighttime. The birds will stop singing, and all those things will happen. But I hope we get clear skies. I hope we have at least partly cloudy skies where we can see the sun. Because
I don't count on Texas weather until minutes beforehand. So yeah. I'm not going to get worried until the day of.
All right, Melissa, appreciate your call. 866-660-5759. Sam in Virginia, let's get you in before the break. What say you?
Yes, all right. As far as Trump goes, the dirty secret about Trump is his policies are really moderate. The only problem is his rhetoric is a little extreme sometimes. Careless. He'll do a two-hour speech, and an hour and 45 minute is great conservative policy. You can't get any better. But then he throws in 15 minutes of stupid, and like it's the Spinal Tap of a 11. Just turn it down to a Trumpy 7, and he's going to be okay, but he won't do that.
I wish you know, listen, that is my one criticism of the guy. You know, the Trump had some moments during his presidency, particularly when he was outside the country, defending American values, defending Western civilization, defending America's defense of freedom around the world, when he was positively brilliant, when he was exactly what you wanted to hear out of a president of the United States. He had some really, really great moments, but then he would launch something that was gratuitously incendiary, that didn't advance the ball and didn't help him, and if it did anything, hurt him. And those are the things I wish he wouldn't do.
Exactly. Yes. Now, as far as where the Republicans are extreme, okay, the Democrats, and you're correct that they went to the partial birth abortion. They went all the way to the end zone, and that was too much. But now on the other end, we're talking about trying with the in vitro fertilization, and you can't destroy those embryos anymore. That's extreme on the other side.
I don't disagree. You know, whatever your principled beliefs are, it is the far other end of the spectrum. You know, the thing I keep coming back to, and boy, I hate getting into abortion debates, but I keep coming back to, in Europe, they don't have this fight. This is not a political issue in Europe. Europe has largely settled on some number between 12 and 15 weeks, and they've accepted it, and those that are anti-abortion have learned to live with it. Those are abortion all the way to the moment of birth. They've learned to live with it. It has been done legislatively. It was not imposed upon them by the courts the way it was here. And Europeans have found a way to live with this issue. We haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, and as far as the eclipse in Virginia, we're not going to get.
You don't get it. You're not going to get to see it, but we may not get to see it here in Texas because it may be cloudy. Hey, Sam, appreciate your call. 866-660-5759. More of the show's coming up. Stay with us. It's Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis here at 6:60 a.m. The Answer. Getting some feedback from you folks via the Patriot Moment. Via the text line at 866-660-5759. Here's one. Dear Paul, please don't rewrite Joe Lieberman's history. Anybody that ran as VP with Al Gore is a radical liberal. He would not have run with Gore if he didn't agree with his environmental extremism. Lieberman was a part of the No Labels Party looking to prevent Trump from getting reelected, and he was not a constitutionalist. Well, let's take that in order. He did run with Al Gore, and Al Gore is particularly radical on the environment. I'll give you that. He was a part of the No Labels Party looking to prevent Trump from getting reelected. Well, yeah, he was. He's a Democrat. He was looking to keep Trump from getting reelected, but he's also looking to keep Joe Biden from getting reelected, so let's give him that. And he was a liberal. He was a man of the left, but he wasn't a man of the crazy left that we have now. I'd never heard Joe Lieberman say it's a good idea to open up the border and let 10 million people flood in. That's crazy, and that was not Joe Lieberman, and that's where I'm saying the Democrats need to get uncrazy, and they have gone so far to the left that they're insane. That's my point. 866-660-5759. Congressman Roger Williams from the 25th District of Texas is coming up after the top of the hour. Paul Gleiser from Mark Davis here at 6:60 a.m. The Answer.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.